Last chance, lollipop.
Dink's gnarled hands grabbed Josie by her t-shirt, and she felt its cotton cut into her armpits like knives as he dragged her up from the bed.
You get your skinny ass up and onto the street and turn some of your route. Hear me?
He slapped her so hard that her head snapped sideways and she momentarily lost her vision, just saw gray and red, and her ears rang in a weird, loose pulsing. Ding-gling-gling-gling.
I'm sick, she said when she caught her breath.
Yeah, well, me too, Josie Poo, but you gotta do stuff. Got responsibilities.
His breath was right against her face, his raw-boned body smothering her. She didn't want to open her eyes. Everything hurt too much, from her nauseated tummy and aching joints to the new stinging and ringing in her head.
No.
No? You saying no?
He wiped his hand over his crooked nose and mouth.
You say no to me again, bitch. Come on, just say it.
Then he was pinching and slapping her all over her body, making as much pain as he could without leaving marks, though there were always some. Josie just rolled with it, back and forth, crying out, her eyes streaming, until finally Dink lost his patience and punched her so hard in her stomach that it was like she could feel something inside her detach, some organ, some part of her uterus. Her eyes flew open at the same time as her mouth, and she spewed bile and the remains of her tiny breakfast of corn chips and salsa straight into Dink's face. He threw himself backwards off her with a scream, banging his head on the dirty lino as he hit the floor, swiping at his already messed up face and eyes like a madman. And some tiny part of Josie that wasn't numb or screaming in pain made her roll off the bed and run.
Survive!
Because as soon as Dink was done wiping off her puke, he'd come after her again. He wouldn't care anymore whether he left marks on his meal ticket. One of his meal tickets.
Bitch!
She heard him screaming as she scrambled out the door and down the stairs of the walk-up. One floor, two, then...
Cunt! Whore!
Something.
Dead!
She reached the ground floor and ran out of the building. 2 years later, now working at a coffee shop on Water Road, different city, other side of the country from Dink Beaker and his slavery, Josie still took each step like she expected the sweltering late afternoon sky to crack and fall on her. She kept her head down and ducked around others walking the same sidewalk along Varnish Street, replaying in her head a conversation she'd overheard at work between a guy and girl. They'd been talking about marriage, loving one another, planning a life, a family. It was hard for Josie to get her mind around it. It caused so much pain and longing inside her, which freaked her out. Because what did that mean? That she wanted a man in her life? Or a baby? A baby? Then she felt that odd little twist of pain she got sometimes in her belly ever since Dink punched her there the night she escaped him. A clinic doctor she'd seen about it said it might be a badly healed tear, or a cancerous polyp, or a kidney stone, or a bunch of things. But the tests were too expensive and frightening for her to ever follow up. In Josie's mind, she knew what it was anyway. It was a torn uterus. She was barely 19, and she was never going to have a kid. She stopped dead on the sidewalk, sucked in a gasp of muggy air like she suddenly couldn't breathe, and covered her face with her hands, felt her own sweat, smelled the hopelessness, and heard the sound of a little jingle bell bouncing towards her. Jingling-gling-glingle. Josie jerked her face from her hands, her ears cocked, head twitching. A business-suited man swore and stumbled as he nearly crashed into her, had to weave to get around and keep going. But Josie ignored him as she looked around. She stood, she saw, at the bottom of the 14 stone steps that led up to the front doors of the St. Mary Holy Love Catholic Church.